Superstition on the air.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Here is another short story in the series designed to disclose the origin of popular superstitions. This one deals with the belief that throwing salt over your shoulder will counteract the supposed ill luck caused by the accidental spilling of salt.
They serve good food on this train, don't they?
Fine.
Will you pass me the salt?
Here you are.
Thanks. Doggone it, I dropped it.
What of it? There's no harm done.
I know, but...
What on earth are you doing?
Why, I'm throwing some of it over my left shoulder.
Look out, boss. You almost got me in the eye.
I'm sorry, old-timer.
Oh, that's all right, boss. But that time when they tried to keep bad luck away, you almost handed it to me.
Do you believe in that silly salt superstition, George?
Why, not exactly, but I never take any chances.
Do you know why you throw the salt over your shoulder?
I haven't the slightest idea. Have you?
Why, I know all about it.
I'd like to hear the story. I've been throwing salt over my shoulder for years, but never took the bother of finding out why.
It's a funny coincidence you're throwing that salt almost in the waiter's eye.
How so?
It was the throwing of salt into a man's eyes thousands of years ago on a desert in Babylonia that started that superstition.
That is most interesting.
Salt was originally regarded as a gift of the gods, a sort of divine substance. During the Roman era, the soldiers and laborers received their pay in salt. From their word, salarium, meaning money paid for services rendered, we derive our exceedingly pleasant word, salary.
Now you're talking my language. Is that how the expression worth his salt originated?
Exactly. Salt was the first thing offered to a guest to cement friendship. The guest would partake of it to demonstrate his friendly feeling toward his host. If by any chance he dropped some of it on the ground, that automatically offended the gods and brought their vengeance down upon himself. Is that clear?
Perfectly.
As our story starts, a merchant named Chalki of Sippa is returning with his donkey caravan from Babylon. The scene opens in the tent of Chalki, though neither he nor his chief attendant Lazmar is present. Instead, we find a traitor, one of Chalki's entourage, plotting Chalki's destruction, with a desert nomad whom he has smuggled into the tent.
You are certain Chalki will come in here?
I am positive. This is his tent.
Will he be alone?
I believe so.
He must be alone, or I shall not be able to kill him.
If someone is with him, wait until they go.
I cannot tarry too long. Each minute I stay here, it becomes more dangerous.
I shall arrange that he be alone.
But suppose that his friend should be with
him. If Lazmar be with him, I shall call him aside. That will give you your chance.
Where shall I hide?
There, behind that bale of rugs. Is your knife sharp?
My knife is always sharp. See that your wits are the same.
My wits are sharper than your knife.
All will be well.
It must be well. Too many times have things happened on this journey, and he still lives.
Am I to blame?
Why did the attack fail last night?
My tribesmen turned cowards and ran away when Chalki's slaves put up a resistance. Can I help that?
All of your tribesmen are cowards.
Careful. My knife knows no favorites. It is as sharp for you as for Chalki.
You would not dare kill me. Without my aid, how could you escape from the camp?
I would fight my way out.
Last night, you and your friends could not fight your way in.
Have a care, my friend, lest you go too far.
Let us not quarrel.
Hurry, then. I must return to my people, lest they become restless.
Remember our pact? One half of everything to me. The other half you divide with your companions as you see fit.
Why must you get half?
Because without me, you can do nothing.
So be it then. But mind you, there must be no mistake tonight.
Where are your companions?
Nearby, waiting for my signal.
Good. Everyone in camp is tired. They're worn out from the fight last night and the hurried march today.
That I know.
There are only two men to fear, Kalki and Lasmar.
That too I know.
Then hide you behind the rugs. If Kalki comes in alone, do not touch him until I signal.
Why must I wait?
Kalki must not be killed until I have gone with Lasmar down to the donkeys. Then will I signal you. You come from behind the bales. Stab Kalki quickly and quietly. Then you come and help me slay Lasmar.
Can you not do it alone?
Lasmar is big and powerful, and I am not used to such work.
You are carrion. You're brave only after the kill.
You and I must not quarrel. You said it yourself.
Go on with your planning.
You help me with Lasmar. Then you can give the signal to your companions. With both Kalki and Lasmar dead, the slaves will put up no resistance.
'Tis well.
But how do I know that after Kalki and Lasmar have been slain, you will not do away with me and keep the whole of the spoils without sharing?
You and I have shared salt together. And even to a traitor such as you, I keep the pledge of salt. To kill Kalki, with whom I have not shared salt, is one thing. But everlasting vengeance would fall upon me and mine if I touched you.
I trust you. You know what to do?
What shall the signal be?
Twice will I whistle like this. When you hear the second whistle, strike, and strike surely.
Fear not. Once will be sufficient. All that I need is...
I shall be glad when this trip is ended.
I too.
Quiet. He is coming now. Get behind the rugs.
Ill luck has followed in my footsteps since the day I left Sippa.
So it seems.
The finest of cloths I brought to Babylon, were they not?
The very best.
And yet no one would buy. The finest rugs did I bring, and no one wanted them.
It is true.
The finest spices I offered them, and the price they paid me, did not cover what they cost. Bad luck. Bad luck everywhere. Then last night, the attack. 4 of my best slaves dead. 3/4 of my finest merchandise stolen. And many of my donkeys killed.
The gods are turned against you.
Surely am I accursed.
It was the spilling of the salt that brought misfortune.
Why must it? Surely my offense was not premeditated.
Still, the spilling of the salt is an offense against the gods and brings punishment.
Oh, woe is me. Oh, Ishtar, Marduk, thou hast forsaken me. Why, have I not always been a faithful servant? Do not thy temples at Sippa shine with the splendor of the gifts that I have offered unto thee? Did I not bring the choicest cebus from Lebanon to glorify the walls of thy dwelling places? And this is how thou dost repay me.
Did I not warn you when you dropped that salt that disaster would descend upon your house and the anger of the gods be upon you and all your possessions? Did I not warn you?
You warned me.
And did I not beg you to put off this journey? Full well did I know no good could come with the gods against you.
Would that I had heeded your advice. Is there no way that I can make sacrifices to the gods to regain their favor?
I know of nothing you can do.
There must be some way.
Let us sleep. Perhaps tomorrow will bring good fortune.
Yes. Maybe the gods are satisfied that enough misfortune has come to me and mine for so slight an insult.
Or perhaps in slumber we will find a way of appeasing them.
The gods are unfair to me. Most unfair.
Do not blaspheme. Good night to you. I go.
Good night, Lasmar.
Good night.
Most unfair. Marduk, Ishtar, truly you are both ungrateful gods. My whole life have I served thee well, and now for a fancied insult thou hast forsaken me. So I defy thee. See, O gods, even as thou hast turned thy face from me, so do I take thy sacred salt and throw it behind me. See, I defy thee.
My eyes, my eyes.
Who is this? Lasmar, Lasmar, come quickly. See him. Help me bind him.
His knife. Take it away from him.
My eye. My eye.
What happened? Who is he?
I know not. I found him here in my tent. He tried to kill me.
Look, he is of the same tribe that attacked us last night.
You are right.
How does it happen his eyes are blinded?
After you left, I lost my temper and started to revile the gods. And so wrought up I became that I took their sacred salt and cast it behind me over my left shoulder. I must have thrown it into his eyes as he sprang.
Truly you are fortunate. For had you not blinded him, surely would he have killed you.
Yes. The throwing of the salt over my shoulder seems to have ended my misfortune. That action must have appeased the gods. Otherwise, they would have not directed the salt to go into his eyes.
It is the truth. The gods are appeased.
Lasmar.
Yes?
Accidentally have we found a charm to avert bad luck. From now on, if anyone drops salt, before the gods become angry, let him quickly throw salt over his left shoulder. That will prevent misfortune.
So you see, that's how that particular superstition started.
Say, is that the same one that has persisted to this day?
The very same one. You see how silly it is?
I guess you're right.
You know darn well I'm right.
Which one of you gentlemen ordered cantaloupe?
I did.
Yeah, it is, boss. Do you have sugar?
No, thanks. I use salt on mine.
Yeah, you are, sir.
Doggone it, I've spilled it again.
Wait a minute. After all I've told you, are you still going to throw salt over your shoulder?
Certainly. Do you think I want to take a chance of having bad luck?
Ladies and gentlemen, we have just heard another of the playlets in the series on the origin of superstition. We again wish to remind you that these sketches are based upon absolute truth uncovered by our research. All that we have done is to dramatize them. We have just listened to the popular superstition of the throwing of salt over the left shoulder to avert bad luck. Our next playlet will tell you the story of the origin of the superstition walking under a ladder. Until then, and be careful what shoulder you throw the salt over.